Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 194, part 1, Rejoicing and Mourning, Our Privilege. Today is Friday, May 13th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Thank you, Pearl, for that introductory prayer. Higher purpose, higher purpose, higher purpose. Keep our focus, keep our focus. Yeah! I am your hostess with the mostest, your web madam, your chief marketing technologist, all rolled into one female body of work. Located in North Minneapolis, in the month of May, the season of spring. Thank you, God, for spring. Thank you for budding trees, green grass, little Johnny jump-ups, spring flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many know after winter, spring is God's best blessing? And then comes my birthday, May 21st. You can know the date. Have you seen the posters? Yep. You can know the date, the Lord's return. Well, according to the Bible, nobody knows the date, even the Lord, except for the Father. But let's say that would be the best, the very, very, very best birthday present I could get would be the Lord's return, May 21st, 2011. At 58 years, it's all over, and away we go. Hallelujah. Okay, so things are going much better. Last month, I had the Mean Reds, and if anybody were to listen and watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my absolutely favorite movies, you will know that the Mean Reds are worse than the Blues. The Mean Reds were caused by a computer meltdown, but we're all over that now. We still haven't found editing software, which we'll need to do. We're just kind of inching our way back. It's kind of like being thrown from a horse. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you kind of pat him on the head and, you know, sit in the saddle. You keep it kind of tied up at the fence. That's where we're at with the computer right now. We're just kind of getting to know one another again. Anyways, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy to be here. I'm so happy. God, thank you. I'm so happy for spring. And you know, one of the things I really miss in Minnesota in the winter? The birds chirping. The birds chirping. In fact, I actually had a bird chirping clock that for each hour it would chirp a different bird, and it broke. So this winter I was beside myself because I didn't even have my bird chirping clock. So just a hint, if the Mercedes, the night on the town and all this other doesn't pan out for me, a chirping bird clock. That's what we're looking for. So enough of all of this. Let's get to the business at hand. That's right. It's Pastor Paul's podcast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. These are the messages for the month of May. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain, which is a Mother's Day message. And I thought that was kind of clever, isn't it? Timing. We labor in vain. So there you go, mothers out there. Your children. Ooh, I know some of you may think that you labored in vain. I know my mother would never think that, but some mothers may think that. Rejoicing and mourning, our privilege. The natural mind hates God. That I know is true. Yeah, it just stands to reason. It's true. Doubting. A doubting Thomas. Okay? So there we have it, the four messages in the month of May, the month of the Lord's return. So if he does come back May 21st on my birthday, that means the last message we're not going to hear, which is doubting. And we won't have to doubt because we won't be around. So that'll take care of that. Be sure to listen both Friday for part one and on Sunday is always part two. Now, I hope that you are subscribing so that the message is sent to your phone and you can listen when you're stuck in traffic. You can also send the messages to someone who you feel would get as much out of these messages as you are. And I know if you are listening, you are getting a lot out of these messages because I know I did. And I still listen to every message. And by the way, I do live tweets on Thursday. So when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message from the cassette into the digital format, being the chief marketing technologist that I am, I understand these terms, digital. When I record these and put them in the digital MP3 format and load them on our server, you can just take these messages and redistribute them. Oh yeah, getting back to Thursday. Thursday is what I call live tweets inside. When I'm recording and something just clicks, you know, it clicks, I'll do a live tweet about what that is that clicks. And then what I do with the live tweets, because one time I went to Twitter and I looked and I didn't find my tweets and some of them were missing and maybe they had fail whale and, you know, the big fish. See, it makes sense. They have the fail whale, the big fish, which is what happened to me last month. Yeah, so it's the computer fish, okay? Anyways, so what I do is I do the live tweets and then I post them on the blog in order. So it's like, you know, I'm doing a post, which I've never have been able to quite get to that yet to do other posts. So I do a live tweets inside post. Now, I think what would be really cool is if people use the live tweets inside hashtag. I better say tag when I say hash, you know, hashtag. What I think would be really cool would be is if when you're listening to the message and you're like getting something out of it and you feel like a real click, like you need to tweet about it, you can do a live tweets inside and then use the hashtag. These are technology terms. I can go look live tweets inside hashtag. Hey, doubting Thomas. He clicked with, you know, a higher purpose. There you go. we're on the same page. That's not a technology. That's just kind of a, you know, an old school term. Anyways, enough. By the way, you also can, when you're listening to this, you know, I can only do one of these intros in the very beginning of the month. It's very difficult for me to do this intro. So I'm just, it's very difficult. So I'm trying different formats. This one is really, it's longer, like 9 minutes we have right now. So we're like 10 minutes into this. Feel free to just fast forward, which I'm sure that you do anyways. Do not fast forward during Pastor Paul's messages. You don't want to miss one single pause in his message. Have a great month of May. Remember, May 21st is the Lord's return and my birthday. And if it all works out, we're out of here. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Rejoicing and Mourning Our Privilege. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Isaiah 66:10. The Bible says, first the suffering, and then the joy. Bodies all over are going through things, and they're suffering. And I encourage them when they call, because they know we go through a lot of trials down here. Advertised, I might add. And I say, first the suffering, then the joy. And I'm willing to go through because there's a joy on the other end of it. Don't you suffer with your children? When they turn out and they get A on their report card or something like that, isn't that a joy to you? Or when all of a sudden, after months and months and months of reprimanding them, telling them do this and do that, it seems like they never do that or this, all of a sudden, you come in and they've done it. You'll say, well, what got into that kid? Seems like they graduated into a higher room. And you have a joy with them. So you suffer with people for the joy that, how about friends and how about neighbors? A lot of times you have to suffer with people. They'll remember that. Maybe they're real stinkers, you know what I mean? And you suffer with them and suffer with them and suffer with them. And then when they have the joy, then you gain in the joy with them. But I thought, isn't a mourner a very interesting person? I remember back now, must have been a couple of months ago now. And Lizzie, a gal that comes in here, and she has 3 or 4 children. One of the sons was named James. He was about 20 or 21. And when I met him, he was probably about 18 or 19. And he'd always come in here and he'd donate his time. And he's one of those people, you know, that has a real sweet spirit. And you say to yourself, boy, I wish I could be like that. And his spirit was for real. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you'd see him and you say, boy, I wish I could be like this guy. He's such a sweet spirit, such a quiet spirit. Well, one night, someone picked him up that had been drinking and drove down the street down here and got up to about 95 miles an hour somehow and hit a tree. And I came in that day and everything as usual, and I walked into the mission, I walked into the office where the people were lined up there, and Lizzie was standing there, and she's not a person that shows a lot of emotion. But I knew that she was heavy in her spirit. She's usually kind of laughy and talky. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor Paul, James got killed in a car accident last night. So kind of stunned me too. You know how you can't believe when somebody goes and you just saw, well, I just saw him the other day. I mean, what do you mean he's gone? That is impossible. You think that, you know. Or maybe you say something dumb like, you're kidding. You know what I mean? You don't mean that, but maybe I've heard people say that. They just don't know how to handle it, you know. And I started talking. She says, well, you know, Pastor, I need to take his body back down south, and I need some money to get back down there with. And I said, well, we can give you a little bit. And we suffered with her through her time of sorrow. Well, now you see her, and she's in her time of joy, and she's in her time of rejoicing. I had led her son to the Lord when he came down here. In fact, I had led all of her sons to the Lord that came down here to help. And so there was a rejoicing a little later on. But anyway, when people are joyful and laughing, we pass right on by them. You ever hear somebody laughing and they're just whooping it up on the street? We smile maybe and put our head down and we make it on by them. Maybe we get a little red in the face, or maybe we get a little nervous. I mean, that's their business when they're laughing, right? I mean, it can't be that funny. I mean, don't carry on like this. And we wouldn't stop because, you see, it's none of our business, right? I mean, laughter, after all, we say to ourselves, is a private thing. But really, we're thinking, maybe they're laughing at me. Are my shoes on the wrong feet or something? Why are we so threatened by joy? Why are we so threatened by it? When someone's happy, why can't we enter in? Oh, we feel like we don't deserve to. Maybe we haven't suffered with a person. I was talking about it Friday night. I said, you know, there's the people out there that are sowing and the people out there that are plowing and so on like that. And there are those that are sitting by and they're listening. Oh, it's okay. They're still plowing. I still have time to enter in. But what happens when all the plows stop? When they look out the window and it's all silent out there and everybody's lifting their first fruits up into the air. What a sad thing that will be, that they won't be able to be in on the rejoicing. What a sad thing when there's a work going on and there's a going through and there's a struggle and there's a trial in it. And we drop out along the way. Too hard, well, I'll come back later. I'll enter in later. I'll jump on the bandwagon just a little bit later, and then all of a sudden it's silent. We come in and we feel out of it. See, you're never going to have the joy until you suffer through the thing. That's why I'm suffering down here, folks, because I want some of that joy. Say amen, somebody. And I've had it over and over and over again because it's the suffering with people. It's the going through, and suffering isn't a dirty word. Suffering is one of the greatest character shapers, one of the most beautiful things that will bring you into the holiness of joy that ever was. Because we suffer enough with ourselves, why not suffer for Christ's sake? And so many people are so busy suffering with themselves. Oh, I'm too this, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I don't like my nose, I don't like my... And they're so involved with their flesh. And they don't want to suffer for the cause of Christ, and of course then they're most miserable. But we hear someone and see some woe in somebody that's having a hard time, and we always pause most times. I think any person of God that sees someone weeping or someone having a hard time is going to stop. Although there's a hardness in the land now, people walk around this person that's laying in the street. Oh, he's drunk, he's this, he's that. And they'll walk around even though they see him bleeding. But most times, I believe this, that a Christian, someone that loves the Lord, they'll pause and they'll stop, and we're touched. In Psalm 55 and 2, David cries out like this. He says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn my complaint and make a noise. Several years ago, I read that. I was going through some real heavy things in my ministry. And I thought, what does that mean, make a noise? And the Lord reminded me the night before that I was laying on my bed and I was making noises. I wasn't uttering anything that was intelligent. I was moaning. I was sighing. Sort of a guttural bringing up. You ever been in that kind of a condition? I've only been in that kind of a condition. Where there's no words, you just sort of moan. Anyway, he cries out to God his sorrow in a noise, well, groanings that cannot be uttered, the Bible says. And I believe those are often prayers that cannot be refused. Sometimes when you're way down in the depths of things and you're mourning, maybe you're mourning, there's a beautiful mourning, you know, there's a mourning for someone else. But I believe often prayers that cannot be spoken but are groaned and moaned cannot be refused. Now be careful, devil, when I start to moan. And when I start to groan, and when we start to sigh, and we start to feel that inner spirit and that groanings and guttural groans that, you know, there's no words. It's a sort of a speaking in tongues. Although it doesn't have to be a language. It's a moaning. It's a guttural sound. But anyway, we sympathize with these people. Verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy. And all through your lives, you listening on the radio or to this tape in here, you're all going to have enemies. See, slander never lacks for expression. They never moan and groan. They know exactly what they're saying all of the time. And so we learn how to sympathize with people. We learn how to understand through going through ourselves. We want to enter into their sufferings. Well, what's wrong? Oh, you wouldn't understand. Well, why don't you try it? Why don't you tell me? Why don't you call me later if you feel like you want to share? Why don't you, if you feel like you want to share this later on, don't push it. If you feel like you want to share this later on, maybe it seems like sometimes someone will give you the cold shoulder. Maybe it isn't that at all. Maybe they're in some kind of a mourning. Maybe they're in some kind of a situation of guilt or indecision or whatever. And they don't have words. Now's not the time to talk. Stay a couple days of silence. Until they're ready to talk. But be there and be available. Are you hearing this? And if you've been through those things, oh, what a great preacher. What a great person you are to have around. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. We can ask, what's wrong? Can I help? Did you lose your mommy? You ever seen a little one that's lost their mom? And they're crying and sobbing and carrying on. Well, where's your mommy? And maybe you put your big face down there and they cry all the louder. Or maybe you're in a situation where, has anyone called an ambulance? I remember I was in California. I was standing on the porch of my parents' place. And I heard this terrible, and this young boy was on the porch, and the noise was so horrible that he started to weep. He's about 13. He started to wail, and he started to weep. He got so fearful. And I said, well, now calm down, son, because we're going to go out there and see what's wrong. We got out there, and there was a woman hanging out of the car, and her hair was hanging down like this, and blood was coming out. And there was a bottle that had fallen out of the car, and she had been drinking and probably, you know, got going at a pretty good speed and sort of bobbled around and then hit several cars and then glanced off of one and went into some kind of a erection, a pole or something. And I came out and I looked at it and I thought, but for the grace of God, I could have been in that same accident myself. All the times in my life I had been out drinking and couldn't even remember getting home. And I looked at her and I said, well, don't move. Don't do anything. And I got to pray with her right down there real close to her head. Now, I never did find out what happened to her. But I knew that I got to witness to her, and I knew that I got to sympathize with her, and I knew that I was mourning with her. Mourning with the people that a lot of times you'd be moaning in your spirit. You don't even know why you're. It says we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with moanings. Maybe you're praying for someone else. You know, when you're down a lot of times, it's not because of yourself. It's a spiritual thing. Sometimes you're praying for someone. Start to pray. You're praying for someone else. Maybe God has got you as a very sensitive prayer warrior. But don't move. Don't move. You may hurt your back, that kind of thing. See, one disaster, one loss can unite people in an instant. Relatives at funerals, in an instant. Have you ever seen that, where people come together through some kind of a trauma? Have you? One loss can unite people, I said, in an instant. And I believe the very highest style of a mourner is one whose griefs are not selfish. So many times we grieve over ourselves. Someone done this or someone done that. And oh, look what they're doing to me. And oh my God, when's it going to end in all of this? No, we don't want any exaggerated acting either. Someone that comes up, now, oh, are you hurt? And they look around to make sure that everybody's watching their sympathy. The person who bears spiritual sorrows on account of others is greater than the one who cries the blues for himself. Are you hearing this? Well, I never felt more like singing the blues since the Lord has allowed these holes in my shoes, I tell you. He's got me singing the blues, huh? See, there is so much to do, and there is so little time to do it, I have a grieving in my spirit that I can't do enough. And yet, I have to believe the Lord, and I have to say, Lord, I know that you give rest to your beloved. And I have to cut off at a certain hour, and I have to go to bed at a certain hour. I'm no good for the next day. See, there's a lot of things that we do, but we do in vain. The Lord says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Not come in and look around at others' burdens. Not drop a care package and leave and care less. I saw these care packages several years ago. They were on TV, and they were in China and Africa and all over the place. And every one of them was written in English. I didn't even know what they were talking about. The U.S. care package. There was no one there to interpret. There was no one there with hands to talk in another language, to tell them that this is from the United States and so on like that. There was no witnessing. There was no one there. But here was Russia, and they had interpreters there, and they're an atheistic country for the most part. The government is. And I thought, there's so much of that that goes on. I mean, that's a mourning in a way. That's like going to a country and going over there, and let's say you go to China. Do you speak Chinese? What are you doing over there? And you take over a certain amount of money, and you go over there and you have it. Why not give that work to the people that are over there? Why not send them the money? Oh, no, we want to have our godly presence there. They paid for a trip for me to go to Israel one time. I says, well, I don't know. I'm not going to go to Israel. I wouldn't know what to say when I got over there. I'll send money unless God sends me. I go in vain. Or to China or to Africa. I was offered a trip. Go to Africa. You got this beautiful tape ministry going over there. I says, my bodily presence might frighten them. Maybe they see me differently over the tape than they see me my bodily presence. And by the way, I said, why spend $35,000 that we haven't got to go over and have a crusade. And not even know what I'm talking about. Why not take that $35,000 and use it in your own corner of the world, or send a certain portion to Ethiopia or something like that? Why do you have to go there? No, I says, I'm sorry, I'm not going. Why not? Because I do no good over there. It would be in vain. So it is the mourner in Zion, it is the mourner for Zion, it is a mourner with Zion. And I really believe this, if you love the Church of Jesus Christ, you will share in her joys. But when she passes through dark times of persecution, dark times of slander, are you hearing this? Dark times of internal discord, you will mourn with her. How many hearing this? Now, you listening on the radio now, if your church is in trouble, you better mourn with her. You aren't going to have no joy with her. Or will you desert her and sneak away, bag and baggage, and say, well, we'll see you at the river by and by. By and by, by and by, we'll see you at the river by and by. Bye-bye, brother. Are you hearing this? And oh, mark it down, in these last years, you're going to see a whole lot of churches where people are going to be singing, by and by, at the river, we're going to see you, by and by. But right now, we got to get lost. Say amen, somebody. We got to sneak on out of here. You know what? God has a very great love for the mourners of Zion. For in loving the city, they love the king. Did you know that each one of you is a city set on a hill? Did you know that this church is a city set on a hill? Well, you say, you always call that where you came from, Noble Mountain, and this Oliver Valley. Well, God has made the low places high and the high places low. This is now Oliver Mountain. It's a city set on a hill, and I'm speaking spiritually now. And its light is not hidden, and it isn't ashamed, and it's moving on. And God is doing a great work. And I'm so excited about what God is doing right now and what He's going to do in the future, I can hardly contain myself. And all because you love the King. If you love me, you will obey me. Well, Lord, but what comes first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This isn't always easy to do, is it? We seek the kingdom of self. You know, actually, even family. Family is a bigger self, if you want to look at it that way. We want all of our children to excel and so on like that. We want them all to be prosperous, so they make us look good. We don't want to suffer with them. Oh, that kid is just driving me crazy. You're driving me crazy out of my mind. Out of my mind. Oh, yes, you're driving me crazy, huh? Well, Marty hasn't been through too much of that yet, but you will be. And you know what? It'll be beautiful if you'll suffer with them. That's one thing I'm really grateful for is my parents. They always suffered with me. They suffered with me when I was in boys' schools and jail. They suffered with me through my service time and my drunks and all of that, and they just kept right on suffering with me. I'll never forget, my dad was 75 years old, and he came to Minneapolis, and I was ministering at a Catholic Church, Corcoran Catholic Church out there. And my dad looked and he said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm so proud. He suffered all that time. But Christ himself has come to appoint unto them, it says, that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. No, you're going to see that happening right down here. and the garment of praise for the spirit, it says, of heaviness. Woo. Do you know what happens when you put on the garment of praise? Put on Christ, that is. Woo. Hey, you start to rejoice. You lose all your heaviness, and you say, well, where did that heaviness go? Don't look for it. You don't want to find it, do you? Sometimes you're not miserable, and you're wondering why you're not miserable. How many are hearing this? Why aren't I miserable? But this is no small thing, but a miracle of God's grace. Hallelujah. To make a man so one with Christ and with Christ's body that he sorrows with the Lord and his spouse. I think this is the mark of grace in active exercise, let's say. When we could mourn with those that mourn. Now, I had an accident that very well could have taken my life not too many weeks ago. And I stepped out of it. My car was totaled out. Now, when I see an accident on the freeway, I say, oh, no. And I started immediately to pray for the people. God, help them in that car. See, I've learned how to mourn for those that mourn in that particular instance. And listen, those who have learned this heavenly mourning are called to rejoice. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. When you see them exercise joy, you're joyful with them because, see, you've been with them through sorrow. Wow, and you're part of it. What a terrible thing not to be part of any suffering. What gross error that we preach to people when we say, well, don't claim any kind of suffering. Well, you'll never have any joy. What a terrible thing not to go... Well, to go through life with no suffering with your children, no suffering on your job, no suffering with friends, no suffering in a ministry, no because then you can't share in the joy. When things work out, maybe you're sitting in your house and you're so depressed you can't even get up and you can't even hold the feather mopper to dust off your furniture. Get up and suffer through that day. Take your lazy old bones and get them up, them depressed old bones, and say, I'm just going to go through this and I'm going to make it work. And you clean your whole house up from one room to the next and dust down everything and clean the windows and really work yourself into a fervor and sit down and you're going to know what's going to happen. You're going to stand right back up again. You've been revived. You're going to start to rejoice. Oh, sluggage, get out of bed. It's 1:45. And you're going to rejoice. Oh, there's a suffering that'll lead you to rejoicing. But if you don't want to go through anything, you aren't going to have any joy. You aren't going to rejoice with people. That's like farmers out there now. They're out there, they don't know if it's going to hail is going to come or heavy rains are going to come or boll weevils or whatever gets out there or some kind of animal get out there and root through all their plants. And they don't know what's going to happen to them. But they suffer through. Are you hearing this? For the joy. Here, a farmer has years ago they used to do it, barn burns down, and all the communities get together and they have a barn building. And they all get out there and they're mourning for so-and-so's barn burnt down. Oh, God, I remember when that happened to my dad. Let's get a hammer and a saw. Let's get out there, let's get the nails, get the saw, go on into town, Ned Julie or whatever your name is, and go on in there, and Fred and Pete, and why do farmers have such names as anyway, Horace and whatever, and go on into town and get all of the things we're going to need for getting, well, I got some over in my barn, I got some 2x4s, and I got some of this, and I got some of that, and I got some, now, oh, great, bring everything over, and let's have a barn building. Let's go over there. And they're mourning over there, and they mourn with them. Well, I lost this favorite steer over here. My little girl had these chickens and so on like that. And then somebody brings some chickens and somebody brings some beef and somebody brings... You mourn with them. But when it's all done, you rejoice with them. And every time you go by that work, you rejoice with them. And every time I drive down the street and somebody just waves at me down here, I rejoice because it's a work that's going on. Say amen, somebody. It's a building up, isn't it? And you take a look at the north side now, and new houses are popping up all over the place, and there's reconstruction going on, and all kinds of things are happening. God is raising it up. Isn't that exciting? Ooh. So looking at this parable today, first, who are those that mourn with Jerusalem? Secondly, why may they yet rejoice with her? And thirdly, why should we personally mourn with Jerusalem? So number one, who are those that mourn with Jerusalem? Those that love the church of God. You love the church of God? Would you mourn with her? Or would that be too negative? So many times we say they're mourning. What did they do? We don't want to get caught up there mourning. We don't want to get in with a bunch of crybabies. That's negative and that's not positive preaching. Those that desire her prosperity, that's the ones. When they don't see this, they are depressed in their spirit. When I don't see somebody, when somebody isn't making it, I get depressed in my spirit. Someone's having a hard time, I get depressed in my spirit. Do you? But I think at this time and hour, many men and women are grieved in the spirit. And I believe there is much cause for depression. Because the glorious gospel has been pushed aside from some sort of a cocky preaching on prosperity and commanding God. A woman has a little son, and the little son has some kind of a disease. And the woman's been praying for this little child to be healed, and rightly so. And she met with another woman, and the woman told her, she says, well, now I want you to go into the throne rooms of God, and I want you to command God! And she, veins are popping out on her neck, and eyeballs are standing out. Can you imagine commanding God like that? Command him, tell him he put it in his word, and to stay to his word! Well, God has a will that works with his word. And just like I said, a lot of things can happen. Joy, do you think some things happened at that funeral the other day? I really believe they did. Everybody there came to know Christ. All because a little one was laying there only 2 months old, a little baby. Well, we mourn with them, but it was a strange thing. Before we left there, we were able to rejoice with them, weren't we? Did you ever see such a swift coming true of the word? They were all but dancing because this little one had brought the family together. Did the little one have a purpose? Oh, you better believe it. Oh, and when we don't have those kind of things, I think there's a cause for much depression. I suppose there, one time I went to the funeral, and this was in the middle of this hyper-faith preaching that's going on now. It's dying, dying, dying. Praise God. Let it die. It was dead from the beginning. It had couldn't go far. It was self-made. So it had to die. It is dying. As far as I'm concerned, it's dead. Has been, always will be. But that kind of preaching, I went to a funeral and this guy could not believe he had prayed for this man and he had died. He said, I don't understand it. I just got a witness of my spirit. I came over and I prayed at the hospital and this man still died. Well, I said, are you mad at God or what? And he sat there through the whole funeral, sort of pondering what his next move was going to be. Like he was going to do, I thought, no, God, don't have this man get up at this funeral with all these grieving people and try to, you know, resurrect this man. Oh, Pastor, don't you believe that could happen? Why does it have to happen? The man had been through suffering. Now he was out of it. I was rejoicing with him. He was of age. His life was over. I mean, there's a lot of times when I wish I was out of here. And I could just see him pondering, now, what should I do? My next move. And he looked real crazy, I might add. And I thought, oh, Lord, please. Please. Says the Father rejoices for them that come to Him. Do you believe there's an hour when you're going to go? Well, believe it or not, you will go. There is an hour. There is a time. There is a heartbeat. Your life is in your nose. You get one nose full of air at a time. Better start liking your nose, no matter how big it is. But the glorious gospel has been pushed aside. Doctrine gospels are preached. You can be sure that when you go to church, that you are not always sure what you're going to hear. I mean, the preaching of the gospel message in an entire gospel message, the bringing in of souls is a rarity nowadays. People argue over the gospel now. And it is the power of the gospel over and over again. I get so excited when I preach predestination and election. Once saved, always saved, and people hate that. I even had a person get up behind my pulpit right up here and say, well, anybody that preaches that is right out of the pits of hell. Well, I mean, how can people with all of these faith teachings, why can't they believe that they're saved? Now, I mean, now you believe everything and everything that anybody else says is negative. Why are you so negative on being saved? Are you so proud of your being saved yourself? You don't want nobody else to be saved along with you because they're not quite good enough or what? I mean, can you explain predestination? No, they've left all of that for the light fantastic and it's dying. Even the Holy Spirit is treated as a mere influence rather than a person. He is honored in words. I mean, what faith can you have in a mere influence? And even God Himself is made impersonal and therefore unreal, unlifelike, and boring. To just talk about Jesus Christ without entering into the sufferings of Jesus Christ, you're never going to get any joy until you work out your salvation, until you get actively involved in the work of Jesus Christ, you'll never have that joy. And you can go to all the prayer meetings you want to go to, friend. And you can read all the Bible verses that you want to, unless that you are involved in the suffering of God's people. And yes, God's people are out there, even the ones that aren't saved yet. Get out there and minister to people's needs. You're not going to have any kind of joy. You're just going to go from one boring teaching to another, and God will become unreal to you. Oh, no, I praise Him every morning. Praises every morning won't do it. They're empty unless you're doing something. Now, I'm not talking about working down here peeling potatoes or whatever you think the mission is all about. I'm talking about in your jobs. I'm talking about that boss that you hate, you're listening on the radio, that you're going to suffer with. And that you're going to understand, now what would I do if I was in his shoes? Are you hearing this? I mean, it becomes boring to people. I mean, 20 minutes of God a week is enough. I mean, let's not overdo it. Priest so-and-so got done in record time, 17 and a half minutes. Whew. Pastor Fred, he 16 minutes, and boy, we were out of there. I like that. Quick and to the point. Well, he's to the point, all right. Half the people in there were snoring away and sleeping away. Oh, man, 16 minutes. This guy's going to go for a record. You know why that is? Because God is not real to people because they're not suffering with anybody. Maybe you'll have to suffer with your parent for the joy that is before you. A lot of you young people listening on the radio, maybe you got parents and you're suffering with them. Maybe you're Christian and you got parents that are burping beer up even as I'm speaking. Brack. Maybe they're repulsive to you. Will you suffer with them? Will you? For the joy that is before you. Will you? Or will you say, you are such a slob? I hate you and I hate your life. Don't you suppose that she hates her life or he hates his life also? And doesn't even know a way out? How many at one time or another in their life have hated their life? Oh, God. I used to be a night person and before I got married. And I would sleep and then wake up and go to sleep and wake up and go to sleep, see? Because they just didn't want to get up. Oh, I worked and everything. But when I had a time where I could sleep, I would sleep away the day. Now, that song, Why Was I Born? Why Am I Living? You ever heard that one? Why was I born? Why am I living? So on, so on, huh? I never sang that in the morning when I got up. I mean, I didn't go into a musical. But I kind of had that spirit, you know what I mean, until I found Christ. I mean, 20 minutes, let's don't overdo it. I tell you, this could be dangerous. You might even get to liking it. We treat our God many times as if He were dead. A dead issue. It's like having a dead horse and taking someone to see it. Here you have this horse and you walk him in the barn and here he is. Isn't he a beaut? Joe, come on, get the hoist on this thing. And you get the hoist on and you crank it up and the horse is standing up like this with belly all sucked in. Isn't he a beauty? And the guy kind of looks at you like, is this some kind of a nut? The horse is way up like this, hanging there. And, Joe, would you mind getting the tongue back in his mouth and do something about all these flies around here? Well, yeah, it's bad. And that's kind of like it is sometimes when you bring people to church and God isn't real in that church. Isn't that right? And you can give all the testimonies you want, and you can do all the praising and waving in the wind you want to, but if you're not doing one single solitary thing for Jesus, it is dead praise, as dead as doornails. Say amen, somebody. I'm talking about dead. You can even feel it. You can even dance down the aisles, but unless your life has some suffering for Christ in it, you can dance and skip and dance and dance and skip and dance and skip all the way around the church, up in the balcony, stand on your head. It won't do a thing if you're not living for Christ. Nothing. Hey, if you're not convinced, not persuaded of your beautiful Jesus, of your wonderful Father, of the great Holy Ghost, is dead to you and boring. See, the Bible says this can be a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. In other words, atheism. If God is dead to people, I mean, when they mention God and they don't get some kind of a reaction out of them, or Jesus Christ, God is dead to them. That's an atheist. Do you know how many atheists are sitting in church that claim not to be atheists? Anyone that isn't born again, isn't a believer in God. All they have to do is but to believe. How are you saved? You're saved by believing. Oh, come on now. No, you're saved, right? By your believing. You believe you're saved, you are saved. Well, for instance, if you don't believe you can get up out of this chair, do you think you can get up out of this chair? What makes you get up out of this chair? You believe you can get out of this chair.
Thank you for joining the podcast. Episode 194, Part 2, will be Sunday, May 15th. So be sure to listen to the conclusion to Rejoicing and Mourning Our Privilege. You can subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast on the homepage at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Have a great weekend.
El gato move, el gato move, el gato move, child, el gato move. Oh, when the Lord